Great. So it's July 22nd. The time is 5:33. This is the Pacifica Radio National Finance Committee, and I'm Fred Dodsworth, Chair. And Otis, can you call the roll?
Sure.
Wait a sec. Susan's trying to tell me something, but she can't find her.
Aki calls the roll, not Otis.
Oh, I'm sorry. Like I said, I'm really tired. It was Aki in my head, but Otis in my mouth.
All right. So, Christine Averroes. Okay, Tom Chase.
Present.
Thank you. Lyndon Foley.
Here.
Lyndon's there. Steve Kukana.
Present.
Thank you. Arthur Martin.
Here.
Thank you. Fred Dodsworth.
I'm here.
Okay. Myra Eason.
I'm here.
Thank you. James Sagat. James. Dennis Williams.
I'm here.
Dennis is here. Michael Woodson.
I'm here.
Thank you. Stephanie.
Here.
Thank you. Susan Young.
Here.
Okay. And just want to make sure that, okay. So, James Sagatin? Okay. All right. So
please note for the record that Serena's listening in.
Okay. Thank you.
And if I might, Mr. Chair, I think it's proper to just let listeners in the future know that when Aki says Stephanie, he's referred to the executive director of Pacifica, Stephanie Wells.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, right. Could you read the agenda?
You know, see, I'm not sure with that. Let me see here.
And the minutes were sent out both last time and this time, but we didn't actually approve them last time. Our Paul's got some minor changes, some past tense stuff and some other things.
Okay, so here you go. So we have the roll call, approval of the agenda, approval of the minutes, easy report for 15 minutes. They're going to cover two items. The proposed procedure for stations to evaluate program grids. That's for 15 minutes. Proposed financial management policies and procedures for 15 minutes. And then we will find out whether we have KPFA ready to be reviewed at the next meeting. And then we'll adjourn.
I thought we were also going to get some sort of report on KPFK.
Not tonight.
All right.
Okay.
Move approval.
Any objection? Hearing no objection, the agenda has been approved. Let us go to the minutes. Can I get an approval for the minutes as they have been corrected?
Motion to approve.
Any objection?
Let me ask. You have my corrections on there, right?
Yes, I do.
Okay. And two of them are for the, what is it? I'm going to say February. It's not February. For the one set. There are too many things to look at here. For the
May 27th.
Yeah. For that, there's two typos. And again, I'm saying we should have somebody sign it at the bottom. You should sign it. And I sent in a bunch for the current minutes that are the latest ones.
Now, I have a question about signing. Who is signing for these minutes?
Secretary should.
Okay. Aki, do you have any objection to signing for these minutes?
Who's that? No, I'll start posting. I'll post these on the website also so that people can see.
Oh, good.
Okay, so we have approved the minutes. Let us go to our first item on the agenda.
Oh. Okay. So it's an easy report. if there's one.
Our great Edie.
Thank you. Good evening. One of the things that we are, I mean, we can probably hop into the financial policy and the grid review pretty soon. But one of the things that we're also working on is I've created a basic standard operating procedure manual. I'm still plugging in a lot of the information with what's needed. I forwarded the basic table, not really a table of contents, but what I'm hoping to include within the SOP manual to the board at the last meeting. And then I don't want to overwhelm people with a lot of SOPs all at one time, but I'll probably work on each section at a time or possibly send everything to the board and the committees to review. But we really don't have any one set that I can find that's a complete Pacifica Foundation SOP manual that just kind of provides the, you know, comprehensive guide of just standard operating procedures that would govern our national and our local stations and divisions. And a lot of it is, again, just so we have consistency, legal compliance and transparency and just instructions basically for our staff and programmers as they move forward. The basic sections, I won't go through all of it, but I will have a section with programming and content standards that will involve, you know, different, how we acquire certain programs. This will include also the grid analysis that we'll help to look at as well. We'll also include that we'll have programmer agreements and expectations on how Pacifica supports our programmers and vice versa. We're in the process right now of working on the second draft of a programmer's agreement, and I can go into that in just a little bit. Also what we do with handling listener complaints, different FCC compliance, public file maintenance, political fairness, content guidelines. We'll also have a section on personnel and volunteers that will cover hiring and onboarding procedures, code of conduct, workplace expectations, grievance and complaint resolution, and security and emergency protocols. And we are rolling out a series of, we've already had a meeting with general managers and key personnel at our stations and with our affiliates that went over security and emergency protocols. And that is a conversation that will continue within our stations and with our affiliates. Then we'll also have a section with finance and development that will include the manual, but not quite as big, but it'll go over kind of basic check writing, bill payment, donor acknowledgement, including in-kind donations, membership, pledge drive documentation, grant management and reporting, and then just budget development and oversight. So we'll definitely run those SOPs by this committee. And then also a section on community and communications and outreach, which we'll deal with. And we have sent out something again already to our affiliates and also our own stations regarding public and media inquiries and certain, how to direct certain questions that you may get back to the national office or to the board chair if appropriate. And then also how we do communications with our affiliate stations, press releases and external messaging. And again, a lot of our general managers and people that have development within the stations have received already copies about a year or so ago, what they should put on the bottom of a press release that lets organizations know that they are part of the Pacifica Foundation, the 501c3, blah, blah, blah. Basic media, social media policies. We also will have a section on technology and operations that will deal with website and streaming management, data privacy, security, basic rules on studio equipment use and maintenance. And again, a lot of those things are already in place in the stations. So I'm getting information as I can from each of the stations that may have some of these policies already. So we can combine something and just have one generic book. And then also record keeping and compliance that would deal with document retention and destruction, legal filings, regulatory compliance, insurance and risk management, those kind of things. So when I forwarded the basic list of the proposed table of contents of what we need to cover within the board, I did let them know that the list is not comprehensive and it can be revised with additions and deletions as needed. We just want to make sure that we start to put something in place. I've also been revising the following documents: the employee handbook, a volunteer handbook, as I said earlier, a programmer's agreement or a programmer's contract that would also include, basically like a memorandum of understanding between the programmers and Pacifica. And again, this would include grid analysis procedures, grievance procedures, also taking a closer look at our whistleblower policy. There has been one in the handbook for a while, but we are taking just a look at that to make sure that it's covering everything we need. DEI policy, gift acceptance policy for staff and board members, and then just a basic employee protocol, which is how to respond to inquiries from government officials, legal officials, the press, or protesters. And that has already been written and dispersed with the general managers for their input. So we just want to try to put, as I said, a lot of policies into place that may exist out there somewhere, but we really don't have a shared location where a lot of documents can be found. So I just want to make sure that we have something put together for all of us, and staff and such. Go ahead.
No, I just said excellent.
One of the things that's kind of interesting with the programmer's contract, and this is dealing with, I've heard a few things, rumblings, whenever certain things are said during meetings or other people may share information based upon what they've heard me say or what have you, then I start to hear rumblings with phone calls and emails and things like that, that Pacifica wants to control and own programmers, the programs. And that is not the case at all. What I want to do is, and it's been something I've wanted to do since the very beginning, is actually create, again, a programmer's technically a contract, but I'm calling it an agreement. And what we're doing is that we're working through right now a standard agreement that can be used throughout the entire foundation. And what we want to make sure is that there's many, many reasons for this, is that once we were doing the FCC training and we realized we had well over 900 volunteer programmers, we really don't have an accurate way to have a good established relationship with them outside of just their local station. And I really want the programmers to understand and feel that they are part of the Pacifica Foundation and that we wouldn't be what we are and who we are without these programmers. And I want to make sure that we have a good relationship with them, not only just to be able to contact them on a regular basis for information and for trainings, but also that we are providing them with what's necessary to help their program succeed. And that will include, as we were looking at last week or last time, is the grid analysis. So it's not just a matter of saying your show's not doing this or not doing that, but what is it that you're doing and doing well? How can we help you use this program not only for your local station, but make sure that it's being promoted if it can serve in other communities throughout our other stations, including our affiliates, and then also potentially podcasting and just getting it out there and what can we do to help them. And I also want to make sure that if we basically have three different types of volunteers that are our programmers. We have people that are creating their own program. They're providing it to us. They're really not using any Pacifica's resources, and we are broadcasting that show. And so I want to make sure that we have in writing that we do not claim to have the copyright to that program, but we own the recording, but they can, rebroadcast it and do whatever they want to do with it in the future. But we just want to make things like that clear. Then we also have programmers who are using Pacifica's resources to create the show, whether we are paying them to develop or create a show, or they're using our resources to help the show. And so we don't want a programmer to give up all rights or anything. And we want programmers to be able to use their program for non-commercial use and their own purposes. But we want to make sure that if it is something that's going to be dispersed as a podcast, or if we even want to use it for something, that we do get a signed agreement from the programmer so they know what we're doing. And if that involves any sort of, payments that need to be made, if we're monetizing something, that, that we make sure that we're treating our programmers fairly. So this is just part of an overall, programmers agreement. And by having the agreement, it'll also allow us to know who's making what programs, that they need to go through the necessary trainings, that we will be evaluating the program on a regular basis to make sure that it's meeting the financial goals, the listenership. Again, what can we do to help them? How can we spread the news as to how great these programs are? But it will also allow us to keep track of the hours, really, that our programmers are working. So then we we'll be able to have a nice adequate list. If we have a list of our programmers, then we know, you know, the program directors can then say, okay, you've been working on this program. It's taken this many hours during this month. And then we have a better feel for and a record of who's doing what for their volunteer hours. So then that helps us as we move into the next election cycle. And we're not just sort of scrambling at the last moment with, you know, lists as to who's doing what, but we'll be able to keep track of who's working on what program, including, you know, if somebody is, you know, has 15 or 16 people that are working on their program. We also want to make sure that those 15 or 16 people that are working on it, we know who they are, they have credits on the program, and we can keep track of their volunteer hours, because we do want to be able to use, as we move forward with foundations and with major donors, to be able to say, it's very powerful to say we have, you know, 900 plus volunteers. This is equivalent to this many hours. And if we were paying this many volunteers, it would be this many dollars. And this is all in-kind gifts that we are receiving. So it's a great way to support our programmers, and then at the same time be able to put the importance of the dollar value that they are providing for Pacifica. Because again, we would be nothing without our programmers. And I just don't think that over the years, we have established as good of a working relationship and appreciation of our volunteer programmers as we maybe should have. So as soon as that, since we've been going back and forth with the draft, we should have something hopefully by the end of next week. And again, it'll still be a draft form, but as we move into some of these issues, we'll definitely keep people involved, because the more input we have and the more revisions and the more insight, the better we can have a comprehensive agreement. So, and then that too, again, will segue into our volunteer handbook and our SOPs with volunteers and the appreciation that we need to also do with our volunteers and programmers. So does anybody have any questions?
I've got a few. First of all, I would like to bring to the attention of the chair and the secretary that I believe James Sagerton has joined us.
Okay, thank you.
And maybe James,
can you say your name? James, can you indicate that you are here?
You're muted, James.
No, he's not muted now. Well, now he's muted. I didn't hear anything, James.
I'm disconnected and now I'm back.
Okay, thank you.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Thank you. Okay.
Okay, you had something else to say, Chair?
Yeah, Susan, whatever my name is, yes.
Well, you're the chair, but you're not the chair of this committee.
Exactly.
PNB chair.
So you get to change my name, huh? To protect the innocent.
Okay. I actually don't have that authority. It turns out that I can't change your name or name anyone else.
I'm iPad. So anyway, first, I think that this is superb work. It's analogous to what Stephanie and others have been able to accomplish with the archives, in that what we have is a compendium of intellectual property with all kinds of rights and responsibilities that has essentially been a great big mush. And I think that what you're doing will protect programmers, will protect Pacifica, will help us understand where assets reside and who has control over them. So I think this is really, really exciting. A big point I'd like to make is that the programmers own their content. They do not own their place on the grid. Period. Pacifica owns the grid. And I think some people forget that. I'd also like to point out that one of the things that we are challenging general managers to do is to be able to give us a sense, give us as the National Finance Committee a sense of how much does it cost for the station to be on the air hour by hour? And how are those who have programs expected to contribute to covering that cost? Our newly appointed permanent general manager at KPFT, Sandy Wyman, is superb at that. And so when we come in with a KPFT budget, I would like him to be able to give us a kind of sense of how he does that for KPFT. And I would hope that we would be able to have basically those same conversations with all of the IGMs and business managers when they come in. That's what I had to say.
Yeah, and that is definitely what we're looking at with the grid review. KPFA, when they did it, they did break down. I don't have the dollar number off the top of my head, but they had a separate page for each program. It listed, you know, how much it costs per hour, how much you're raising. You know, you're doing a great job. You may need a little help. What can we do? But I don't have that dollar figure off the top of my head. I know at KPFT, it's roughly about $250 an hour. And I know that some programs, you know, can't raise funds. KPFT was a perfect example of a program that was geared toward the incarcerated population. And we're not expecting individuals to donate money to that. And so, but what they did is that person then went out and got a sponsor. And they were able to get an underwriter for that program and brought in, I think, $10,000, which basically covered almost 2 years. And again, at KPFA, they didn't take into consideration what the dollar cost. KPFT, they took everything into consideration with the dollar cost. KPFA, they didn't take into consideration with the cost per hour, any sort of the operational expenses to run the station, the air conditioning, the electricity. They really just did what was necessary with board ops, editing, anything that was pertaining to that program. So WPFW, when they did their grid analysis recently, they didn't take into consideration the dollar amounts and what money was needed to raise, but it was a lot of great feedback with the programmers as to what they need to succeed. So we've started that conversation already with them. I think we do have a dollar breakdown at WBAI. I don't know the number off the top of my head, but they're getting prepped to be able to do a grid analysis as well. And then, of course, we'll work with KPFK. So that is definitely something that we need to do and provide those opportunities. I've worked with many people at WPFW writing grants, and the same thing with KPFK, creating sponsorship documents and what that would look like and calling people on their behalf if they have questions about our finances. So there's a lot of ways that we want to be able to help the programmers succeed.
Excellent. Dennis Williams, you have the floor.
Thank you. I was going to actually save this for the grid analysis, but I see a clear point of intersection here with the programmers agreement, and that's with the issue of mission alignment, which I think is crucial. And it also needs a clear set of sort of criteria, rubrics, whatever. But I think it's also going to need some kind of a process, a way of sort of appeal or adjudication, because I can see, you know, it's really a question of constitutionality. And I can see a difference of opinion and sort of how is that resolved? You know, if a programmer feels that, you know, that she is mission aligned, but say a program director disagrees or a general manager disagrees, or if they all agree, but someone at the national level disagrees. So what is the process for determining that? And it may be that the best place to describe that process is in the programmer agreement. So that when we come to that in the grid analysis, it's already clear. Although I still think maybe some kind of even basic rubrics could still be built into the grid analysis document.
That's a very smart idea, because it is kind of we can't have it rely completely on one person, you know, to make that decision. And we really do need to have, you know, guidelines. And, you know, there may be some times that, you know, not everything is always set in stone. We have to be able to be flexible enough to be able to, you know, listen to both sides and see what we need to do. But yeah, I will definitely, having some sort of rubric is a great starting place, and being able to have more than just the program director or even sometimes people outside of the station, you know, maybe another station taking a look at it because you're looking at it with fresh eyes. But I will definitely put that in my notes.
Thank you.
I want to reaffirm that nobody on the PNB has control over programming. We are setting up programming for the entire network as a process rather than specifics to programming. When I first got here, I was informed that somebody who had had a program at KPFA had literally given that program in their last will and testament to some other party. And there was quite a bit of unhappiness about that because that's not allowed. Mr. Martin, you have the floor.
Okay. Well, I mean, let me answer that one. I remember that whole thing, and it has been blown up so tremendously over the years, but I'll just say that it's been blown up a whole lot.
Fine. You have the floor, Mr. Martin.
Yes. Okay. You're talking about SOPs. Are we discussing the document that was sent out? I can't even see it now.
I hope so. Yes.
The Pacifica Foundation Policies and Procedures Manual, is that what we're talking about various things, but that also, I guess, right?
Correct. Yeah. Cause that's okay. Specifically with the finance committee. Yes.
Okay. A part of what I want to say is I'm very glad to hear, there's going to be agreement with staff people, producers, that's going to lay things out for everybody, because there are, you know, as you say, there are a lot of different people doing a lot of different things. Sometimes there are people who do podcasts and say, yeah, you could take that and put it on the air. And that happens. And sometimes there are people who go in live and there are people who produce a program and ship it in, all of these different kinds of things. And, I'm glad to hear that you're going to try and clear some of that up, because there's been confusion in some cases on both sides. I for a while was chief steward in the BAI union, not the current one, a previous one. And, we had some interesting, concepts of what some people thought, including what some managements thought. I will note that at one point there was a management at a station, all unnamed, in Pacifica, where a management person basically tried to gain control of a program for copyright and resale purposes for himself. So stuff has happened in Pacifica that's been not so good, and it would be good if it all gets spelled out with all of this. In terms of the policies and procedures manual you have, someone else has, I think it's Tom Chase, has done a lot on this, more than I have. I would note that on page one, I think it is a national business/finance manager. And, I think that needs to be really fleshed out significantly because we don't have, you know, a whole lot of, we don't have a whole lot of understanding of what exactly is going on with that. And so anyway, also I see that there's in that policies and procedures, there's a timeline laid out. I think maybe that needs to be looked at a little bit more. I will note on page 12, 25.0 credit card, just at the bottom of the page there, it says persons responsible run the risk of being charged under the Criminal Code of Canada. I don't think you're really going to do that. Oh. So probably that needs to be. Yeah. So there are things like that. So I just wanted to make mention of that. And yes, I want to say again, I'm very glad to hear that disambiguation will happen about who has copyrights and all of that and who can claim what. Okay. Thank you.
All right, Paul, I would like to recommend that you go through the manual and you make such corrections in red as you think are appropriate and you submit them to the executive director. Mr. Yep. Woodson, I give you the floor.
Yeah, I have very little to say. I don't know much about management. And I totally am awestruck by this policy and procedure manual. I do know, or I would have a question about its implementation. Excuse me. It looks very intensive to do. And I'm wondering, Stephanie, if, we have any sort of plans with regards to how it will be, put into place, step by step, and what kind of, staff will be needed to do any number of these things. For example, some of it's really data, entry intensive, it seems to me. So I don't mean to cause trouble. It's brilliant, right? But, it's also ambitious, and that's my comment, and thanks.
Well, I look at it, a lot of the things we are doing already, this is just more formalized. You know, we have ways that bills are getting paid and how things should be put into, you know, the things are coded, you know, so a lot of this stuff is already happening. We just don't have it sort of written down. A lot of it too is not happening, and we don't have the staff, or we don't have business managers. I'm looking at this as a blueprint on where we want to go. And then that allows us to get a better understanding of where we're missing certain people that can help implement this. So I'm also working on a, org chart for the entire organization and breaking it down per station. But then, cause the org chart for the whole station was way too big. So it was too many. It was crazy. So I'm just breaking it down by each division and then kind of doing a smaller version of summarizing that. But anyway, what that's helping me do is that I'm working with the general managers, one at a time to sort of see what position do you have? What do you not have? And then in the corner of each of the org chart, I'll be able to say how many positions are filled, how many positions aren't filled. And then we can take also a closer look as to where we're lacking and in different positions at each of the divisions. So yes, there are things in this that we don't have the staff to be able to do, but again, it gives us a blueprint and a direction of what's needed to move forward. The staff and the general managers know that I'm already working on this. And we talk about it at our regularly, you know, general manager meetings, and there will most likely by the end of this year and into next year, the plan is to have Markeisha and myself visit all of the stations and to be able to sit down with them and get a better understanding and grasp of what we're looking for in the financial management of their station.
Yeah. Just for example, back in 2006, I tried to, as a person on the technology committee, to seek out an inventory of our assets, which seems like it has to be done. But then it's easier said than done, right? So just for an example of something that seems Herculean in its ask. Yeah.
Yes, very much so. And it's terrible as it has been for the stations to have significant moves over the last few years. KPFK had a significant move. KPFT had a significant move. WPFW has had a significant move. WBAI is doing extensive clean out of the areas. It has allowed us to get a better grasp of what we have and what we need. What needs to be fixed, but we don't have a good comprehensive list of all of that. So it's kind of like little bits of, you know, little bits of spring cleaning, as we move forward, but we will get there.
Speaking of spring cleaning it, Mr. Woodson, I want to congratulate you for comparing Pacifica to the Aegean stables. Mr. Chase, I give you the floor.
Thanks. Just a couple of comments on the grid review rubric. I chatted with our program director at PFW, and she, you know, agreed with what Stephanie said about having used it and found it useful. We didn't do the financial or the audience, you know, metrics. And I would just reiterate again, we need help with the audience metrics. The money side, we have a good handle on that. And just from my exposure over the short time on the money side, I can tell you it's going to be a challenge for us to get all of our particularly public affairs shows to generate, you know, revenue that maybe would even match their hourly, you know, cost to put it on. We make a lot of money on our music shows on the weekend. So, you know, there's got to be an ability with this rubric, and I hear there is, to balance, right? So maybe something under public affairs is very strong on mission, and we're supporting it with our music, which, of course, is also part of our mission with Jazz and Justice at WPFW. But my point is, it's unrealistic to expect every program to generate revenue, especially if it's really mission-focused, it's public affairs, that sort of thing. It's the only point I wanted to make. We got to have that balance across the portfolio.
Yep, and that makes perfect sense. And by having these, you know, an analysis of each of the programs, we can see, okay, well, there's a trend that we have, 80% of our public affairs programs that will not be able to meet that goal. So then what can we do, as the Pacifica Foundation as a whole to support our public affairs programming? And that's when we can then go out to, you know, I have a better talking point and a better selling point to foundations, major donors, underwriters, and say, we have, you know, 60% of our programming that is really supporting our mission. And it's imperative that we get that word out. So we need financial support to make sure that we can keep our voice and our mission moving forward. And then we can get, make an ask for a grant or donations that support all public affairs programming. So just because somebody in it, that's why it's so important that the grid analysis really is done, with, you know, empathy with the programmer and with a lot of education about what, you know, what is the mission? You know, like Dennis was saying earlier, is it meeting the mission and making sure that we are there to support them and we don't have this grid review as, well, this is what you're doing wrong and you're not raising money. So you're off the air. What can we do to make sure that the programmers feel that they are part of a bigger picture? And, they're not only just part of WPFW, they are part of Pacifica. And what I want what I'd love to be able to have, and I've said this before, and it's like an a la carte menu where we can, and we're working on that now, but to be able to, you know, pick out the best programs that have happened over the last month, send it out to our affiliates, send it out to the other stations and say, hey, have you listened to this program on WPFW? I think it could work on your station, you know, and try to get people to produce their programs in such a way that you're not limited to just your station, but you could probably get that program out at 4 other stations and 300 affiliates or whatever, you know, just to try to let people look that they are part of a much bigger picture than just their own backyard.
I want to note, as a former reporter and a publisher and editor, that there's not a news program, whether it's in print, radio, or television, anywhere in the United States or probably the world that actually is self-sustaining. News is what we do, and we have to build our network around the fact that we are not going to make money with news, but we really will not save America if we don't have it. I'm going to actually ask our chair to speak because she hasn't spoken on this yet, and then I'll come back to Dennis. Go ahead.
Is that me? Thank you.
Yeah, Sue. I'll just call you Sue.
Please do. Then I'll know who I am. KPFT, similar to WPFW, music pays the bills. We are not in, we don't have a station without the fabulous service that we provide to the music community generally, and that is really emblematic for us. Mila makes the point, she can speak up for herself, that a part of what she would like to be able to see, and I guess it's with allegiance or whatever, is not just when the donation was made. Does it correspond to a particular program? But what are the programs that donor listens to? So the question of where is support and who's generating what is a more general one. I'm delighted that our Paul is bringing his eagle eyes to the financial management policies and procedures, and Thomas Chase is already very knowledgeable about that. It would appear that Stephanie has drawn on best practices, and maybe there are best practices in Canada, you know, and right now many of us are, you know, thinking that maybe Canada would be a better place to live. So anyway, so this is a work in progress. But I also, Stephanie, I don't know if you, Dennis, Tom, want to talk about the fact that you have the possibility of recruiting a volunteer business manager at WPFW and what that looks like. Because as Fred pointed out, I mean, as Michael pointed out, this financial management plan is aspirational. It's best practices. We don't currently have the resources to fully fund that. But finding ways to build capacity at the individual stations, which will be a way that the national office can give us timely information, I think is one of the initiatives. So, Stephanie, if you or folks at WPFW want to talk about that.
Dennis Williams, you have the floor.
Okay. Not particularly to that issue, although I think that we do need to come back to that. But about staffing as it relates to the grid analysis, because I know the document, sort of explains that as basically a staff function, which makes sense. We've got like 2.5 staff, and I wonder if there's a way to allow for, a general manager to appoint, deputize 2 or 3, volunteers to help with even the more data inputting part of it, going through the numbers, not necessarily the interviewing and the evaluative component, but, looking at the numbers, the finance numbers, the listener numbers, some of those things. That's a lot of stuff right there. And if there's somebody else who could be appointed to help out just with some of that work so that the management can focus more on the evaluative parts of the process.
Yeah, I think that would be absolutely, wonderful. And I have looked at the same thing with grant research. When I pull a foundation to do research, there's a lot of, I go back through usually 2 or 3 years of their 990s. I look at all the board members. I see what the companies or the organization's giving history is. And it's a lot of detailed research, which is great. I love it. But it would be great to be able to have volunteers that I could work with to say, here's a foundation, here are their taxes. Who have they given to? Who sits on their board? What are any sort of political affiliations they have? And who do you think we could probably reach out to? So there's a great use for volunteers in a lot of this work.
Great. I want to say that when I was publishing or editing, partnering Beer the Magazine, we reached out to the Harvard School of Business and ended up with an MBA student there who came in and really worked with us hand in hand, such that at one point we invited him to join us in ownership, because he was so, actually because he arranged for a $2.5 million investment in our company. I would like to recommend that we think about that in terms of we are located in major metros, and every one of those major metros has business schools, and those business schools have people that are looking for ways into the market. And maybe we could use that as some free labor. I think we're done unless we have any more questions on this, and we'll go to the next issue, which I think is the grid.
I have a question or a comment.
Yes.
Mr. Can you hear me okay? I was having trouble being connected.
We can hear you.
Good. Thank you. So I think a lot of this is long overdue. And in fact, I think we've been being promised some of this for a matter of years, and I'm glad to see it finally coming to fruition. However, you know, something is better than nothing. So I'm, as I say, I'm glad we're getting on the way with this. Some of it is no brainer, you know, just kind of standard corporate practices, best practices, if you will. But really what it's going to come down to when the rubber hits the road is going to be whether these things are implemented evenly and, as objectively as possible, and whether or not this is the beginning of a mainstreaming of our programming and a giving up of our alternative voice. You know, so I don't always agree with everything that's on our air, but our mission has always been to provide for voices that are not heard elsewhere in the same medium. In other words, providing a voice for the alternatives, which does not necessarily mean mainstreaming. And, so I just hope we can stick to our mission, our historical mission, and we can implement this in an objective as much as possible way, so that it just doesn't become mainstreaming our programming in a way that fits some people's opinions about what we should be doing, as opposed to preventing alternatives, whether we agree with them or not. Thank you.
Okay. Are there any more questions, or should we move to the next item on the agenda? Let us move to the next item on the agenda. I think this is back in your court, Stephanie. You want to speak about the grid? You're muted.
Sorry, I was coughing. Let me pull the paperwork back up, but I don't think I...
Well, while you're looking for that, do we have any idea when we're going to actually hear from PBFK?
Yeah, the budget was done through, or the to date was done through March, and we just finished today. We just got Maggie's answers back, or yesterday, for the bank reconciliations through May. So we don't have the June bank reconciliations, but that will then allow us to update the financials from, because we reconcile everybody's bank statements once a month. So we just finished, as I said, we got the answers from Maggie for May. So my anticipation is KPFA is ready, the affiliates are ready, and KPFA, the affiliates, and KPFK, I think we could do in one meeting, if that's
ambitious. Is that at the next meeting?
And the affiliates are, I just have to give Maria a heads up, but, the affiliates have been ready. Yeah. So.
Okay. So at the next meeting, so A, affiliates, and K.
Correct.
Okay. Very good.
Okay. Now do you want to go to the grid?
Yes. I don't think there were any comments that I had received that were, you know, in reference to how things were written, or, you know, as much as the, and I love edits. So, you know, please, anybody that sends, you know, I hope that I get redlined and edits and things like that. I mean, that's how we can make things work. The more people put in their insight and their comments, but a lot of this is, you know, determining, I think what we'll do is under the responsibilities in section 4, it talked about the program directors leading the review, gathering data, the general managers coordinating the stationwide analysis, the development staff, if there is one, providing fundraising and donor data, and then the national, we don't really have a national programming team, but review and support analysis across the stations. So again, I had in that team is TBD. But, you know, one thing I can add in here is that we can put together maybe instead of a national programming team, we can put in something with, technically, because the national programming team, I really wanted then to be able to take a look at some of the programming to see how we can help the programmers get the programs out to other stations and to Pacificast or podcasting website if need be. But what I'll add on the responsibilities is maybe a use of volunteers. I'm just typing it in so I don't forget. To assist what Dennis was talking about, volunteers to assist in data analysis and then creating. Okay, so there is a the mission alignment, but I will add then to that creating a rubric and then also add from just a statement too from what James was saying is that we want to make sure that we reflect, you know, diversity, free speech, and that we're not creating a, I mean, it won't be put this way, but, you know, just kind of a whitewashed version of programs, but we make sure that we continue to have the diversity and giving voices to people.
Excellent.
So let me just put that in there now.
Great.
So I don't forget. But I mean, open speech for anybody else that wants to add anything.
I really would like us, we have, I think we have two stations that have news teams. One is New York and one is San Francisco. And I'm...
WPFW does too.
Okay, then.
That's right.
Well, with the three stations, if there was some way that we could get somebody to work as a managing editor to put top of the hour sort of material that we could share throughout the network, it would really, really be good. I know that I'm not in charge of programming. I know that that's not what we're here for, but I think that it would really help create a national brand for Pacifica that would help all the stations.
Yeah, 100%. And KPFA and WBAI have been working very closely together. We do have someone, Lisa Loving, who's from our affiliate network that we've been paying through the national office, who's been working on national programming with WBAI and KPFA, covering the special events like the conventions that we did, the election night coverage, the May 5th protest, and the No King's Day protest. And we've had as many as, you know, 35, I think the highest was 35 or 40 reporters on the ground in their local communities from affiliate stations providing feeds into this live coverage. And even with that, again, news doesn't make, you know, money, but we did get a $50,000 grant to help cover that national coverage. So there is a need out there, you know, are people willing to cover that? We are working with another organization, with a national, they have a national news program already that's been in existence for about 30 years. KPFA covers the, uses the program already. They are in the process of closing down their production organization, and they have asked us if we would be interested in taking it over. So we, I'm in active communications with them. They have funders, they have private donors that are supporting it. So we're just in the process now of hopefully being able to meet with some of those funders to make sure that they would still be interested in funding the program if we were to take it on. It's still, you know, kind of in the early stages of discussion. We've only met, I think, four times already. But I did provide them sort of a timeline of what it would look like if we took over press releases and a potential MOU for that agreement. And then that would put us in line for an already established national news program that we would keep the name. They're in alignment with our mission. Some of our stations are already carrying the program, and we would then be able to take it over and produce it as, and then release it, you know, ourselves as a national news program.
So would it mention Pacifica?
Pardon?
Would it mention Pacifica?
It would become a Pacifica program. Yes.
Hot damn.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Do we have anything else on our agenda?
R. Paul for something fast.
Okay.
I just wanted to say regarding the, you know, looking at the grid and evaluating programs with that, people have to understand that it ain't easy. Like, for instance, going by the Nielsens, the Nielsens are not made for us. They're made for a different type of entity. They're for the commercial radio stations. How they're supposed to work is the program director gets it in, looks it over, see if there's anything odd or good in there, whatever. and says, okay, and makes a decision and then hands that off to the marketing department. Marketing then looks it over and starts making up a rate sheet, and they put that out to advertisers and say, if you want to advertise on this program, it'll cost you $500 a minute or whatever. That's all it's for. It isn't for really delving into what exactly is happening with this program. What is its effect? What's it doing? It's all about dollars for them. I've had arguments with program directors years ago about this, but we have to be careful of it. Also, let's just say that not everybody in Pacifica really gets the idea of how to deal with that kind of thing. So I think perhaps Pacifica management is going to have to get some folks in who can really discuss how to deal with Nielsen's and things like that without getting everybody all gummed up with going down a bad direction, put it that way. All right, thank you.
I was remind you of Mark Twain's comment, there are lies, there are damn lies, and then there are statistics. Okay, can I hear
motion to adjourn?
So moved. Is there any objection? Hearing no objection, we are adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you.
Aki, we ended early, dear. I have to say.
Noted. Yep.
Great. Yeah. Ended at 6:30. We'll call it.
Thank you.
Well, I have 9:29, but okay.
Well, that's because you're so far behind me.
No, that's because I set my computer clock according to an atomic
clock for the meeting. It's 6:29. You're correct.
All right. Fine.
Good night, all.
Okay, thank you.
Good night.